Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Today, Monday, last Monday of the month, but today also is the National Day of Forgiveness. I just found out about this. September 27th, National Day of Forgiveness, encourages, according to the National Day calendar, encourages us to develop realistic methods for incorporating forgiveness in our lives. And so, back with us, it's been a while, but I'm glad he's able to be back with us, is Pastor Hugh Harmon. Good morning, Pastor Hugh. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I am well. I'm blessed. And I'm so happy that you're back. We haven't had a good conversation in a very long time. Are you well?
Yes, yeah, it's been a minute. Yeah, I'm well. I've been blessed. All the news about COVID, it hasn't affected me thus far, and I'm grateful for that. But yeah, I've been working hard, so that's why I haven't been able to be on with you like I would like to.
I totally understand. Everybody has their day job. so I do understand that.
Right.
But I do thank you for making some time today, especially on this topic, because it's kind of a tricky subject, I think, because one of the things I want to tackle first in terms of forgiveness, I want to ask you to explain what it is first, and then I'm going to ask you my first question. So.
Oh, okay. So I go first. All right. What is forgiveness? Like you said, again, I want to thank you for the opportunity just to be on today and to share. But as you reached out and I started to think about it, I had not heard about this day either. So I started to do some research, like what is the National Day of Forgiveness and who came up with it. But that being said, what I think forgiveness is when you make a conscious and deliberate and intentional effort to pardon somebody in response to what you view as hurt or damage that they have done to you. So I think that's what forgiveness is. A lot of times in defining things like forgiveness, you have to also talk about what forgiveness is not. So I just said forgiveness is intentional, deliberate, conscious decision to pardon somebody for what you yourself, personal, because a lot of forgiveness is internal, it's innate, it's inside of us. So it's me deciding to pardon somebody for a perceived hurt, and that's regardless of if the person even realized that they hurt us or not. So what is forgiveness not? I think that helps to clarify when we talk about what forgiveness isn't. I think that forgiveness is not, how could I put it this way? Many experts in the field, and I would never call myself an expert, but I've got a degree in pastoral counseling, so I know a little bit about it, studied a little bit concerning forgiveness, they would say that forgiveness is not a glossing over, denial of the seriousness of the offense against the person. But and forgiveness does not mean forgetting You know, we often mash those two together. It also does not mean condoning or excusing the offense, but forgiveness can help us to repair a damaged relationship. And sometimes it's a relationship with ourselves, with our own conscience. It doesn't obligate us to reconcile with the person that we felt harmed us, but it does release us from this hurt and pain. So those are my definitions of forgiveness.
I like it. I like it. The one thing that you did say that was going to be part of my first question is we always hear, we kind of pull them together, forgive and forget, and we think it's all one package. And there's components, because sometimes you can forgive, but you can't forget. And in some cases, I think you need to forgive to move on, but you don't need to forget because there are lessons to be learned, right?
That's right. That's right. I think, you know, that's a real misnomer when people say forgiving is forgetting, because actually the key to real forgiveness is not forgetting. So forgetting would say what happened is not important, it's not significant, I wasn't hurt enough, I wasn't bruised enough, I wasn't damaged enough. Oh, it wasn't a big deal. It was a big deal because you got to a place where you needed to give forgiveness. You needed to offer forgiveness to release yourself. So that whole idea of forgive and forget is not really true.
Okay. So now, with that being said, if you don't forget, how do you keep from, let's say, stewing in the same hurt, and how do you get to the point where you can forgive but not forget?
Well, think about it this way. Our brains as humans are like sponges. Regardless of what we see, encounter, sometimes, think about it this way. There are times you drive on the highway going home or coming to work, and there are things that you are intentional in looking at, and there are other things you don't really pay much attention to. It just passes in your periphery. But there are times later on in life when that thing that you pass in your periphery, you're going to see it focused in a news article, in a news story. You're going to say, oh, I drive by that every day. I know exactly where they're talking about. Why?
Mm-hmm.
It's because your brain has a way of imprinting stuff in it, even when it's not really, when you are not intentionally, voluntarily paying attention to it. And so when you get to a place of hurt, so let me go back to my definition. When we define forgiveness, there's enmeshed in the definition a number of factors. One very important factor, and I think we miss it, is we got to acknowledge that we've been hurt. So some damage has to have been done to ourselves, and we have to admit that we are damaged because of this, or traumatized, or hurt in some way, shape, or form. That seems really obvious, but it isn't, because society, our culture tells us, you know, to say that I've been hurt is to be weak, is to say that I've been hurt is to diminish myself. I've caught on to this writer named Brené Brown. I don't know if you've heard of her, Dr. Brené Brown. She's written a number of books about vulnerability. She actually studies vulnerability. She's actually a professor of management, I think. But she's found her niche in talking about vulnerability. One of the books she wrote is called Dear Greatly. And another book she's written is called Rising Falling or something of that nature, but around that. And she says staying vulnerable is a risk we have to take if we want to experience connection. As human beings, and, you know, when you reached topic, I was like, wow, this unfolds a lot of things, because forgiveness is crucial to connectedness or connectivity or staying connected. And staying connected is crucial to being a human being. We are not islands unto ourselves. And so we yearn for connection. And in order to preserve connection, we need to be ready to forgive. And that is challenging for many of us because, like I just said, in a society that says to admit hurt is to say you're vulnerable and vulnerability means weakness, it's not something people want to embrace. But she also says vulnerability is the birthplace of innovation, creativity, and change. So you've got to be vulnerable enough to open up yourself enough to allow yourself and give space for the possibility of being hurt in order to really have true connection. Because if you're not vulnerable enough, you're always going to keep parts of you closed off. So whoever you're trying to connect with, if it be in business, if it be in a loving relationship, they end up only getting a part of you and not all of you or the part of you that you want to present. And so that's a challenge. And so that idea of if you don't embrace forgetting, how can you get over the hump in this of the hurt? I believe it's like a, you have to go through that painful place in mm-hmm. order to recover. You can't avoid mm-hmm. the painful place. And so it's like a arm broken. You go to the doctor. The doctor is going to push it back into place before he puts a cast on it because you mm-hmm. don't want it to heal out of place. And so right. that's what many of us are going through. We're healing out of place, and we're good as long as we don't see that person that hurt us. But we cross their path, we see them in the mall with somebody else, we lose our minds. And so we've never faced it. Even if it's just getting in front of them and say, you know, you really hurt me, you did X, Y, Z, that's a weight you lift off of your chest.
And that's that thing you were talking about, Dr. Brown was talking about being vulnerable. It's hard to go to someone, confront someone and say, you hurt me, because that means that somewhere in there I was weak. Somewhere in there I allowed you to get into places, you know, or have access to parts of me that you know, would not have wanted you to have. I have to admit that to, I guess, myself and to the other person. But sometimes you do need to go to that person in order to get closure, in order to purge, in order to be cleansed of what happened.
Right, and a lot of times in forgiveness, the closure is just for you. It is not for them. You're not doing this to make them, to get them off the hook. You're not doing this to make them feel better. You're doing this for you. Like trauma victims, young ladies that have been involved in rape experiences, for example, that is, for them, forgiveness is obviously not saying what was done to them was not bad, it's okay, it's fine. No, but forgiveness for them is coming out of shame. Because the experience, a lot of times people hurt us and don't even know that they have hurt us. That's one. Then number two, people hurt us and forgot they hurt us. That's two. And then there are times when we've been hurt in a situation because we took something personal that the other person or the other party did not even intend to be personal or did not intend to be facetious. They really could have just been joking. They really could have just had a dry sense of humor. But we, because of our emotional state in the exchange, we walked away feeling in a place where forgiveness is now a currency that I have to spend or use. And So going back to that person, and like you said, it's hard to go to somebody and say, you hurt me, because, again, saying that speaks loudly to, well, I had some control
over the past
over
60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Sorry, Pastor Hugh. Sorry, audience. Welcome back to Jesus Power Hour. I've never had so good entertainment. I am your host, Steve. Thanks so much for being with us. Hello?
You know how I keep going. So I know how it is.
Yeah, it caught me off guard a little bit, but I'm glad. So I guess one of the things I wanted to ask you also about is you were talking about letting folks off the hook. You know, you also
right.
have people that come in and try to apologize. Sometimes you're not in a place of forgiveness yet. Is that
mm-hmm.
okay?
That's okay, because forgiveness is a process. I looked at, I'm Bible. I'm strong scripture. And I went back to the Bible to look at where forgiveness is used. And I found only two Greek terms and one Hebrew term for forgiveness. And the one Greek term that's used the most, I won't even try to pronounce it in Greek, but that Greek term that we have translated into forgive, it means to bid going away. It means to depart. It means to let go, to give up a debt, to go away, leaving something behind. I think it's important to talk about the tense in which forgiving and forgive is used often in the Bible. It's often used in what is called a present continuous tense. That means it is a process. It's something I do over and over again. I don't just do it one time. I've got to do it over and over again because of the mind that I have, because of my mind being a sponge, like I said earlier, and being able to recall things. And so when we say stuff like I'll forgive and forget, it's easier to say than to do. It's easier to say I'm going to forget it, but our minds have a way of rehashing things, bringing it back to our remembrance. But the key here is, even when your mind brings it back to your remembrance, how are you responding soulishly? Are you saddened? Are you now more encouraged? Do you now recognize that I've grown, et cetera? And so I think, you know, that's important to understand when it comes to this idea of forgiving. It is not a one-time thing. It is a process. It's something you do over and over again. It's something you revisit, and you grow from it, like exercise. I go to the gym. I try to go at least 3 times a week. Every other day I try to go, give me some rest in between. And I know if I keep going 3 weeks from now, I'll be lifting more than I was lifting at this point. And so it's the same way with forgiveness. If I forgive continuously over and over again, 3-4 weeks, 3-4 years from now, I will be farther along that road of recovery.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you about is if you can – I think there's one particular passage that in Scripture that everybody, they may not necessarily remember chapter and verse, but they remember about forgiving, how many times do you forgive? Seven times. Okay.
Yeah,
so can you go into that one? Can you explain that a little bit so that people can kind of get a clearer understanding of what that's supposed to mean?
I think what I just said is exactly what that means. And so
okay.
the idea when the disciples came to Jesus and said, and asked him how many times, that was in Matthew 18 and 21 and 22. It says, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And Jesus' response, as many as seven times. In fact, that's what Peter asked. Did I just forgive him seven times? Seven mean a number of perfection or completion. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. When people hear that, you know, a literal translation is, I got to count out 70 times. Seven.
Yeah.
and forgive this first. But Jesus was literally saying what I just said. This is a process. You got to forgive over and over and over again. Like, there, you got to stay in a space of forgiveness. And so it's repeated forgiveness. It's continual forgiveness. It's because forgiveness of others is always in perspective of how you have been forgiven. So if we go back again to scripture kind of, you know, the Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Dividing asunder soul and spirit and bone and marrow. Literally, it's going to cut you as you're reading it. And in the Bible, it talks about Mark, Matthew, and I believe Luke, all three of them quote this scripture. Mark 11:25 says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Right? Matthew says it this way, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. And so when we read that, we're like, oh, wow. So my forgiveness is my forgiveness of others controls God's forgiveness of me. And it's really striking when you read that. It's convicting when you hear that because, again, the idea of forgiveness in scripture is always be mindful you are in a place of being forgiven right now as we speak. So keeping that in mind, you should be forgiven to others.
Boy, oh boy. You know, I mean, because that just like, it sounds like it just requires work. It requires, like you said, conscious decision. You know, you make a choice, and then it just requires work. And sometimes you almost want to say, well, especially if it's trying to forgive the same thing over and over again, still commit this act over and over again. That's hard.
That it is hard. It's this one thing I think we've been correctly. We've been told doctrinally that get saved, believe in God, follow his guidelines, and everything is going to be like a fairy tale. Good. You know how it says, and they live happily ever after. Not true. Not true. All right. So there's some work. As long as the world is in the fallen state it is in, there's some work that you're going to have to do. What God promises, or Jesus promises rather, I will be with you. So through it all, I'm with you. When you fail, when you, your heart is hardened and you don't want, you just don't feel like forgiving, I'm with you. I'm there. I think you asked in your question to me when you reached out, you said, think about how people learn to forgive. And I say it starts with good biblical models of forgiveness, not just the people in the Bible, but the people in our lives that say they believe in the Bible. Because the number one model of forgiveness is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What can we learn from Jesus? The Bible says in Luke 23 that Jesus reaches Calvary. It literally says when he gets to Calvary, not after they pierced him in his side, not after they were jeering him, not after they were saying, surely he saved and raised Lazarus from the dead, he can get down from this cross. Before any of that was said, Jesus said these words, Father, forgive them, or they do not know what they are doing. So he doesn't say forgive them for what they did. He says forgive them for what they're doing. When we read that, it tells us we have to learn from Jesus that we got to forgive early. Do it early. Then we have to do it often.
Yeah.
And then three, we don't, and after we do it early and we do it often, don't lump all people into a heap characterized by the one that hurt us. And number four, focus on the next relationship. Or focus on this relationship with new eyes. So do it early. I got to forgive early on. And people learn to forgive when they see people around them forgiving others.
Yeah.
Their children learn that when they see their parents dealing with each other, because children are very perceptive. So they know when there's been a fight. They know when there's been an argument. They know when there's been some disagreement in the home. And when they see the parents after that disagreement or in the heat of that disagreement come to some reconciliation in front of them, they are now learning how to forgive. So we learn how to forgive when we see healthy examples or models of forgivers.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We are here with Pastor Hugh Harmon. It is, well, in some circles, the National Day of Forgiveness. And whether or not you've heard of it before or not, it's a good time to actually kind of get a little insight, a little perspective into what forgiveness is, you know, and how we forgive and how we learn to accept forgiveness, too. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Especially, you know, we're getting into that season, the holidays, we see a lot of people. Sometimes we're reconnecting with people we have not been with in a while because there have been rifts and stuff like that. And so this is a good time to maybe focus on how we deal with some of that. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been two decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the arc with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's Chill Out Jazz, the soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are talking forgiveness. Today, National Day of Forgiveness, September 27th, and we have with us Pastor Hugh Harmon, who's breaking it down for us. If you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. Pastor Hugh, sometimes it's tougher to forgive ourselves than it is to forgive other people.
Right.
That's a complicated issue because a lot of it has to do with how we feel about ourselves, you know, self-esteem. And then it just depends on also what the offense is that we're trying to forgive ourselves for you know, accepting forgiveness from other people. So can you talk about us accepting
you know, us as individuals accepting forgiveness from other people and from ourselves?
Right. That's a great question. And I think it goes back to what you asked previous to the commercial. You said, how do people learn to forgive? We also learn to forgive when we face the trauma of the crisis circumstance that brought us to this place where we needed to use the currency of forgiveness. Because, like you said, sometimes it's harder to forgive yourself than to forgive others, because we have a proclivity to turn in on ourselves. So human emotions are such that we easily turn on ourselves and victimize ourselves, not wanting to accept that we may have been gullible or viewed as passive receivers of hurt. And so we turn a blind eye to what got us here in the first place. So if I don't feel that I'm hurt or vulnerable, then I don't see the need to forgive. Or if I need to project that I don't hurt or I'm not vulnerable, I don't need to forgive. So we walk around, we drive this prison of forgiveness. We think we're driving it around, but we're actually inside of it, pushing ourselves around in it. And so we forgive, or we learn to forgive, when we learn that it is not our fault. And so this is where counseling comes in. And it's important, especially in the times that we're living in now, where mental health is, people are now viewing it as what I just said, mental health. It's not, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're an evil person, you're a sick person, but it's health. We focus so much on physical, biological, anatomical health, that we miss that there is a brain and a mind on the inside that also needs some attention, that also needs some relief and release and relaxation. And in the times that we're living in, especially after these 2 years of this pandemic that has really put another layer of stress and frustration on the lives of people, it's important for us to get to this place of forgiveness. So as long as there's a threat of possibility that I caused this, then again, the need for forgiveness is moot. How do we accept forgiveness? That's the original question you asked. And I think it's, we accept forgiveness when we are able to fully face what we did and the part that we played and what effect that part that we played had on the person or the persons that were hurt. And so we accept forgiveness when we begin to understand that what we did is not who we are, and that the person offering forgiveness, this is key, also recognizes that an action does not a person make. So a lot of times in accepting forgiveness, it is you have to walk away feeling that the person talking to you or dealing with you is genuine, authentic, and that they sense the change in you. And that's difficult. That's where it's difficult, because it requires lots of assurance and signs of assurance that may not be easily discerned.
The other question that I had, too, is about wanting forgiveness from someone, but it may be too late to get it because they, let's say they've passed on, you know,
right,
and you wish that you could have reconnected, and before you've had that opportunity, that opportunity is gone, you can't get it back. So do you forgive yourself, or is that just still just out there? I mean,
that's what I've wondered.
That's a good question. That's even more difficult.
Even more difficult, but that's where faith comes in. That's where the realm of the spiritual comes in. Now, it's going to be supremely difficult for somebody that does not believe in a other world, that does not believe in God,
that's
atheistic, that does not believe in Scripture. But for those of us that are believers, even if the person dies, We believe that death is not the end, and we may not be able to communicate to them, But we believe that we serve a God who can. The Bible says he's an advocate for us. He advocates on our behalf. You know, I think of that when you say that, and it's difficult, I think of the young men that I ministered to for several years when I was still in New York at Rikers Island Prison. Many of them were behind bars because they took someone's life. So those guys, when it comes to forgiveness, they truly struggle with forgiveness of themselves and truly struggle with this point that you're making, because the person that the life they took, they no longer exists. The families of those individuals are broken, spend years fighting to keep them from even being paroled. And so I think of those men, and I think of the idea and the ideology. Why do we have prison ministry if we aren't going to be forgiving? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why are these guys – so we should nullify, do away with prison ministry because you're saying they kill somebody because they kill somebody and they can't now recuperate that person, resuscitate that person, and ask that person for forgiveness or get forgiveness from that person. And surely they can't get it from the family members, the loved ones who are just angered and upset by the fact that their life was taken. Then we just need to throw these people away. Bible doesn't teach us that. The Bible teaches that these guys are souls, these women, because they're women behind bars as well. These are souls. And so we have to now, this is where the spirit comes in. This is where understanding who God is and what he is in our lives comes in. Because that's when you go to God and say, God, I didn't have the opportunity to get forgiveness. It's not available to me. But I seek you and what you offer in terms of forgiveness for me. Ultimately, all of us have, the Bible says, fallen short of the glory of God. And, you know, we may frown and look down on people who are behind bars and have been charged with a crime. But sometimes it's because their sin is public and our issue is private. So our issue doesn't harm anybody openly. But their issue harmed somebody openly, and as a result, do they deserve forgiveness? And I think a day like today, National Day of Forgiveness, is really important in even bringing light to that fact. I just thought of it as we were talking here. I even thought about national forgiveness for this country and the history of this country, and that's why I feverishly was trying to figure out who came up with this National Day of Forgiveness, because again, forgiveness can also be used as a tool to sweep stuff under the rug. So let's do this National Day of Forgiveness so that we can get off of our shoulders the burden of our evil and what we did.
So what I found in answer to that question, there is a person by the name of Melissa Reese, who founded this day, actually just founded it, I guess, on a mission to help people overcome that which causes them mental and emotional pain, grief, trauma, stuckness, and discomfort.
Right.
And that stuckness can really mess with you. If you can't forgive somebody else, or if you can't forgive yourself, you do get stuck. You know, you wake up in the same place. You're focused on it. You're overly focused on it. And it does not allow you to move forward and be more productive and more giving. You know, like you say, it's about, in a lot of cases, it's not about the whole person. It's about one issue. And if you just kind of get stuck, you know, then you're not allowing yourself to be a blessing and to be able to forgive and receive forgiveness to and from other people.
Right, right. I believe that people change. everybody has opportunities to change. And that idea of stuckness, I heard somebody, they quoted their grandmother or grandfather, and he said that people who've been hurt or traumatized, they usually remain the age at which they were hurt and traumatized emotionally.
Yeah.
So even though they are 50 years old on calendar, they're still 16 emotionally because of that place of hurt. And so they never become all that they can be in every area of their lives, or they are very committed and they're very passionate in another area because it almost compensates for that area where they were damaged or hurt. And I think that's really important. I'm glad to hear that was the reason behind the day. You know, I'm very cautious and conscious of intention, because like God in the scriptures, it says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God is concerned about the heart. God is interested in why you're doing it, not what you're doing. And so what you're doing, people may frown on. What you're doing, people may characterize you by it. But God is asking, why are you doing that? Why are you living like that? Why are you practicing this kind of lifestyle or behavior, whatever it is? Because that's the root of it. If we get to the root, the why, then the how, the what, all that other stuff lines up and makes sense.
Yes, it does. We are going to take our final break. We are here with Pastor Hugh Harmon. It is the National Day of Forgiveness. It's new, but it's necessary, I believe. We need to kind of reexamine what forgiveness is about and how we go forward in forgiving and in receiving forgiveness. So Pastor Hugh is breaking it down for us. If you have a question or comment, the number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Jim Garris, and I think I found a way to help you understand what is Chill Out Jazz.
Some of y'all may be confused because of the style we choose. We make jazz and R&B. We don't categorize. We just make what sound good, baby.
Is it jazz?
It is what it is.
Is it R&B?
Tune in every Wednesday night at 10 on KHAM Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Today is the National Day of Forgiveness, and I'm glad to have Pastor Hugh Harmon back with us to talk about this. We haven't connected in a while. It's been a crazy year or two. I'm glad we were able to connect today. You know what? In thinking about that, I know there's a lot of us that may have felt like, may feel now that we need some forgiveness because we feel like maybe we've kind of fallen short in doing some things, you know, things that we promised ourselves that we were going to do back in 2019, and then 2020 hit, and we're trying to navigate back, you know?
Right.
Everybody wants
right.
to get back to normal. So we keep trying to navigate back, and I think it's really crucial that we navigate forward, you know.
Wow. I didn't think about it like that. That is powerful. You know, we all said, let's get back to church. Let's get back to fellowship. We need to get back to the sanctuary. You're right. We need to get to move forward. I don't think we'll be able to go back to how it was.
And maybe we shouldn't. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying COVID was a good thing by any stretch of the imagination. But
correct.
I think we have to realize that adversity is an opportunity sometimes for us to go into a different direction. I'm sorry, I know I'm getting off subject a little bit. But
go ahead.
In a different direction because we were stuck. You know, we talked about that stuckness thing. Things were normal and, you know, I don't know if necessarily everybody was happy, but they were comfortable because it was what they knew. COVID broke that all apart. And it's like, oh, no, I'm not familiar with this. This is in the plagues and pandemics and stuff like this in the history books, okay?
Right.
I'm actually having to live through some of this stuff. And so, you know, we have to kind of, and the reason I'm talking about it now, because I think we have to forgive ourselves for not knowing exactly how to navigate the last couple years, last year or two. Because we're in year two, okay, you know, basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we have to say, I didn't know it was going to be like this. You know, we got a lot of people now that didn't get vaccinated that got sick, or certain people in their family got sick and passed on, and they're like, I wish I had known. Well, we, you know, even if there were cases in history that showed that these types of things happened, it doesn't mean that it was going to happen exactly the same way in the history books, and it doesn't mean that we had to deal with it in exactly the same way it was dealt with in the history books. We have
to recognize
that we're in a different time and place and our lives are different, and we have to forgive ourselves for not having enough knowledge and go forward. You know, am I talking out of my head or something?
No, you're talking correct. And maybe we are where we are, spinning our wheels in the mud, talking about we going back to normal, and then a week or so later we are, what's the word, thrust into, oh, we got to shut down again because we haven't practiced forgiveness enough.
Mm-mm.
You know, we hurrying to go back to some situations and spaces where we weren't even comfortable, we were just content.
Yes, exactly.
And that's a problem. And so for you to bring this into discussion of forgiveness, I think it's important. I thought about it as we went on break, and I thought about these two scriptures I think came to mind. And again, I always say look for models in the Bible. And it says in Psalm 103, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who hear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And I think when you hear that, it's telling you God, it's not that God doesn't, that God forgets our transgressions, is that he foregoes our transgressions. He steps over our transgressions. And a complimentary scripture is Proverbs 10 and 12. It says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offense. And so God is deliberate, intentional in saying, I know what you did, but I'm not going to hold you to where you did it and how you did and what you did. Let's work on something else. And it's up to us now to accept that and recognize through that, it's telling me where I am, who I am, telling me my vulnerability. It's telling me I'm from the dust. But with God's assistance, I can become better. And I think we, if we adopt that attitude with each other, with your assistance, I can become better. What I did hurt you, now I realize I can't do that and continue to be in fellowship with people. So moving forward, I've learned a lesson from you even telling me you forgive me. So now I know I can't treat you the way, treating the next person like I treated you. And so that experience of offering forgiveness or receiving forgiveness was really instructional to the person that received it.
You know, I know people are going to be upset with me, but I don't care. We are lazy. We've gotten lazy. We think that the good things that happen to us, we should not have to work for.
Right.
You know, we think that good relationships don't require work. We think, you know, so kind of late, and then we get upset when things don't happen the way we think that they should happen, you know?
That's why marriage is in the state it's in the world, church or otherwise, because we want to make this thing so easy, and it's not. Two different people coming together to make a family or life together, it's difficult. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But let's work on this thing. Let's be willing to change. Let's be willing to face up to, you know, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We are not perfect. But together we can do some things great together.
Let's be willing to be a little bit uncomfortable. You know, there's going to be some discomfort. I think that's a lot. I think when we talk, for example, when we talk about racism, in confronting racism and in trying to move away from what happened in the past and making a better future, we've got to figure out a way to confront. We've got to figure out a way to forgive. We've got to have open our minds to some new insight and perspective in terms of how we deal with each other. Because, you know, I mean, and it's not – like, well, okay, one of the things that I guess I'm stuck on now is this whole thing down at the border with the horses and stuff.
Yes.
And it just brings back that visual to me. It brings back some discomfort. It brings back horror stories in the case of being an African-American woman and knowing what happened to my people. The visual was just very disturbing. So the thing about it is, yes, you can go back there for a minute, but you can't stay there. Okay, we got to figure out how this happened. How do we keep it from happening? You know, how do we proceed forward? And the best way to handle the situation and not get stuck in, this looks so much like a repeat. But we've got to get other people because, you know, for black people, that hit home in a lot of ways. For other people, they didn't get the outcry against the people and the horses and all that kind of stuff. So you've got to kind of educate. Okay, you know, but you can't continue to be too sore about the visual. You got to educate and say, this is why this looks and feels very bad, particularly to this particular segment of the population now.
Right.
How do we handle this? You know, take a deep breath and let's go forward. We don't forget it, but we need to figure out how we handle this, make sure that, you know, it doesn't happen again. Because it's one of those things when they talk about people that don't know their history or doomed to repeat it, something like that.
Right. Yes, you're right. And that's unfortunate. That's where we are as a nation. That's where we are as a globe, as a world. Because, unfortunately, people of color, brown, black, otherwise, throughout this globe have been mistreated, mishandled, diminished, devalued in many ways. And it's hard for people who see those images before them constantly to get to a place of forgiveness. But we have to, for self-preservation reasons. And so, you know, even the idea of monuments, Confederate monuments now being the whole legislation around the country, removing these monuments because they represent, you know, what they represent. And people saying, so why are we doing this? This education that's necessary. This is why we're doing this. You know, so that
Pastor,
you understand.
Hughes,
yes, ma'am.
Forgive me today.
I got you.
But our time is up. But I am so glad that you were able to come back and talk with us again. And you know, I'm sure, you know, especially as the season moves forward, I'm going to be calling upon you again. But thank you for taking the time out today. Really appreciate you sharing with us today.
No problem.
You be blessed.
God bless.
God bless. And thank you all for listening. Go out and forgive somebody. Forgive yourself. This has been G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.